With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Sometimes in the church, we think if somebody gets attacked, whether it's financially or sickness or disease or whatever, that there's a door open and that they left a door open or maybe sin was in their life. Listen, if you're a Christian in this world, you're going to have trouble. If you go into a battle and you don't know whether you're going to win or you're going to lose, guess what? There's a higher percentage chance you're going to lose. I'm talking if you're getting ready to go, you know, a mano or imano, whatever it is, man to man. You know, if I had to overcome the cold spot and the fear in my stomach when I was younger. Now that didn't mean that I didn't have fear in those battles, but it meant, and I'm not saying those battles were righteous either. If you're not sure of whether or not you're going to win, you know, that fear can begin to dictate a lot in your life. That fear can begin to govern a lot in your life. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? All right, if your actions or your thought life are governed by fear, which is the possibility of losing, whether it be health, wealth, or life, or friends or family, if you have fear in your life, then you have if you were to cut up the chunk of the pie in your brain or in your soul of hope of how the outcome is going to be, there is a greater amount of that pie that would say it's going to be negative. That's fear. And if you have fear in your life in any situation, then you'll go into every situation with the possibility of losing. Jesus says that in Him you will have peace. Say peace. In Him you will have peace. And He says, He just tells you why you're going to have peace. Now, He didn't say that you're not going to be attacked. He said in this world, so on this side of heaven, as long as you have skin on your spirit, as long as you have flesh, you are going to have trouble. Everybody say trouble. If you're not having any battles in your life, then you aren't doing anything for Jesus. I guarantee it. Because as soon as you start doing something to manifest the kingdom of God in your life, there are going to be battles. Because Satan couldn't keep you from being born again, but he sure does want to contain you. See, once you've been born of God, you've been born of the very nature that raised Jesus from the dead. You've been moved from a friend of God to a son of God. You're the son of God and the son of man. The blessing given to Abraham. You are the seed of Abraham in faith. So you are the son of man. You are the reborn son of God. So you become a joint heir with Jesus. And Satan couldn't keep that from happening. But what he wants to do is to keep you from moving forward. He just doesn't care enough about one person that he's going to pinpoint you as if you're special to kill, steal, and destroy from you. But the minute you start making a difference, there's going to be trouble. And anybody that's going to succeed in this world naturally or is going to succeed in this world in the kingdom of God has to recognize if you're going to do anything above and beyond average, there's going to be trouble. And if there's no trouble in your life, you're probably average. Come on, somebody give the Lord a hand clap of praise. That's good preaching. That's good preaching. I don't want to be average. And this church will not be average. You know, this church is going to be full to overflowing where people are standing in line six services on Sunday just to get in here because the Word of God is being preached. And this failure-loser mentality in the church has got to go. Now, I'm going to kick it clean off the campus, and if I have to, I'll kick it clean out of you. By the Word of God, He prunes with the Word. He doesn't fisticuff you. He doesn't slap you. He prunes you with His Word. Now, are you in Christ? Is everybody in Christ? Let me see your hand if you are. Have you been born in Christ? Well, then Christ is in you, and you are in Him, according to John chapter 17. And Jesus said, if you're in Him, then you will have peace. Now, did you remember? You remember when I said that I used to have a few battles when I was younger? You know, when I went up against... Let me tell you a story. You want to hear a story? One time, because I was a bit of a player in high school, and I'm not talking about ball. I'm talking with the opposite sex. I just love girls. And I went to this dance, and there was this really cute girl, but she'd been going out with this football player for, I don't know, years, 2 years, 3 years. And he happened to not be there, so, you know, I wanted to dance with her, and I danced with her, and, you know, those kind of things. And he found out about it later, and he got all upset and mad. But I figured he wasn't there to dance with his girl. You know, he was out with the guys. His tough luck. That was the old Kenny before I was past Kenny. And so I came home two nights later from work, and there was 14, 15 guys outside of my door, outside of my window, and they throwing rocks up at the window. Listen, they all said, you come out here, come out here, come out here. And I was smart enough to know if I went out there, you know, I didn't have a chance, one against 15. I said, now if everybody goes to the other side of the road except for one, then I will come out there. And then when I put him down, then another one can come out of the other side of the road. And then my dad yells out the window and says he's going to call the cops if these guys don't leave. So, okay, that was a Saturday night. So Sunday, fear gets in me. Because I'm thinking now, what happens when I go to school? You know, it's not a matter of whether I see them face to face. It's a matter if I see these 14, 15 guys face to face. Are you getting the picture? Because when I lived on the north side, I had an altercation with about 50 kids one time. And I did not win. But I gave it everything I had. So I came up with this plan. And it wasn't in the Holy Ghost, but it tells you a lot about my DNA. I was a senior in high school, and these guys were juniors and seniors. And they were all on the football team, and not one of them was small. And so beginning at first period, when I was supposed to be in English Lit class, I just told the teacher I had some things I needed to do, and I said it really confidently, and he said, okay. And I went door to door and found each one of these kids in their classrooms, and I asked their teacher, I said, I need to speak to so-and-so, and I don't know why, but they just let each one of them out. And I mean, I was cold in my stomach. I was scared as can be because I was, you know, thinking, boy, I could really get hurt here. And I just looked him square in the eyes, each individually. And I said, listen, I understand you're having a problem with me, and either we're going to talk or we're going to bleed, and I don't care, you make the choice. And you know what? All 14 guys backed down. And then the leader couldn't get a hold of him. I went to his house because I wasn't going to let that little bit of fear rule me. The one guy I didn't go to after school, I drove to his house before I went to work, and I knocked on the door, and I told his mama I needed to see him, and here this big old football player comes out. And I said the same thing. Hey, listen, I understand you have a problem with me. We're going to talk or we're going to bleed, and I don't care which. You just make choice. And every single one of them backed down. Why did I do that in the natural? Because I didn't want to have fear to have any place in dictating my next week and the week after that and the rest of my school year. Fear is something that the devil puts in your life to stop you. Could you imagine spending my entire half of my entire senior year being concerned about who was around the corner or who was in the bathroom or who was in the alley? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? You understand what I'm trying to say? This has spiritual ramifications. Now, did I have peace on the inside every time I spoke to one of those guys? Absolutely not. I had a big old cold spot in my belly, and my adrenaline was making my hand, and I was trying to control that as much as I could, you know? Because fear is a spirit. It's just like a rabid dog. If it smells you, if it smells the fear in you, it'll come after you, put you down. I was at Iowa State University. I had taken a year off between high school and college, and I went to Iowa State University. I believe I was 19 years old, and I was on the security team for one of the complexes there. And I had a fellow who was an Iranian student, and this is when we weren't in the best relationships with Iran, and he was supposed to be my co-security guard one particular night. I'm trying to give you a natural instance so we can look at this. this spiritual truth. And, you know, there was a lot of tension between, everybody remember the Iran-Contra deal and when they had taken all those guys and kidnapped them, and this was during this time. And so this guy was from Iran, and I knew a friend of his, but I had a confrontation in one of my complexes that an Iowa football player, I mean one of the big line guys, had come to a party and gotten out of hand, and I went to go take care of it, and he was a little more than I could handle. You understand what I'm trying to say? And so I called my partner, and he didn't respond, which left me in a situation where it wasn't very good, you know. Here, somebody's supposed to have your back, and they don't even respond to the radio call. And so I went by his dorm room and clicked my radio because I had a feeling that he was sleeping. And I clicked my radio, and sure enough, I heard the radio on the other side of the door. He was inside his dorm room sleeping. I talked to him personally, just like the scripture says you should do, but I didn't know what I was doing. And he did it again. And then I went to somebody who was a friend of his, and we talked to him, and he did it again. So I turned him in. I didn't want to have that happen again, where I was going to need somebody to back me up, like in the body of Christ, and then they might be there. And part of what I'm talking to you about is you guys backing one another up in the body of Christ when you get attacked, because you're going to have trouble. You hear me? All right. So this Iranian guy got fired, and he put it out that he had a gun and he was going to shoot me when I was least expecting. Well, that went on in me for about 3 days. You know, and I'm looking across the quad, and I'm looking down the hall. I'm trying to, you know, I'm just trying to keep my eye out for this particular Iranian guy who had gotten fired. So I said, this is enough of this. I skipped all my classes, and I went all over campus trying to find this guy, and finally I found him, walked right up to him. I said, I hear you got a gun, you want to shoot me? Back down just like the guys in high school did. Now, does that make me different than anybody else? I was as scared as could be on the inside. I put on the, you know what a poker face is? I put on the best poker face that I had, and I tried to conduct myself so that the fear would not dictate or govern what I said or what I did. You guys understand that's what faith is? That's a great component of faith. You have to recognize, like Abraham considered his own body and his wife's, but he reckoned that God was able. And so he kept doing the business. And they got a kid. Do I need to spell that out anymore? If he had believed that he wasn't able to produce a child from his own loins, then he wouldn't have been doing what he was doing. But he had to do the natural thing. But if he believed that he can't, every time I do this, nothing's going to happen. You know what? Eventually he wouldn't do it anymore. Faith takes action despite the contrary in perception. Contrary than one your feelings. What you feel. And guys, you don't build your faith and exercise your faith for something when the attack comes. You'll lose every single time. You have to build your faith in an area of your life where maybe you've seen failure before. Maybe it's sickness and disease. Maybe it's that God is your, Jesus Christ is your provider. Maybe it's that Jesus Christ is your protector. Maybe it's that you don't understand that Jesus Christ is your sanctifier, or that he'll forgive you and wash you and cleanse you and make you righteous. Whatever area of faith you need to build up in, you need to build it up in before you're attacked. And if you've lost in that area before, you need to get your nose in the Word of God and build your faith by the Word regarding that area, because that attack is going to come again. Until it's no longer an area that you are manipulatable, if that's even a word. Come on. We used to play, Caleb and I started playing this game, but we used to play when I was a kid. We play punch buggy. You know, every time you see, we do it now in the car, every time you see a Volkswagen, a slug bug, you punch the other guy in the arm. And, you know, now there's these little mini cars and Coopers and all these things, and once in a while we'll punch each other when it's not the right one, and then you get two. You get it because you get it wrong. The other person gets two free shots. And if you flinch, you get another shot again. Do you know what I mean? You lean back to punch, each other. And we're just having fun. And if you flinch, then you get another free shot. And if Satan sees you flinch when trouble comes, he's going to keep the same kind of trouble coming until you don't flinch. And you understand that you're going to flinch on the inside, but Satan cannot read your spirit and he cannot read your mind. Satan is a corporal being. He is not omnipresent. He is not omniscient. He doesn't know all things. He works through I'm really helping you this morning. This is good preaching. He works through a network of demons that communicate one to another. And believe it or not, your life probably doesn't even get up to the chain of command in the kingdom of darkness until you start making a difference. And if he's gotten you to flinch over the sniffles, or flinch over a car payment, or flinch over a collection bill, then he is going to keep punching you in that area, and he's just going to keep you down. He couldn't keep you from getting born again, but he's trying to contain you so you don't bring about the kingdom of God in this city and in your life. Amen? All right, let's read this scripture again in John chapter 16, verse 33. I have told you these things so that in me you may have peace. In this world you will have trouble, but take heart, I have overcome the world. Where is the peace? Come on. Where did he say you'd have peace? In him. Everybody say in him. You don't have peace because of the way the giant looks. You know, imagine David running out there and saying what he said. You know, when he was running out there, he wasn't like immune to fear. Otherwise, faith wouldn't exist in his life. He knew that Goliath could take his head. He knew the lion and the bear could take his head. But he went out anyway. And his faith wasn't in what he could do. His faith was in what God would do through him. Amen? And if you look at all of the heroes in the Bible, trouble comes and comes and comes and comes and comes. Say amen. I'm not saying you're prophesying trouble in your life. We don't need to open the door for trouble to come in your life, because whether you're in Christ or not, trouble is going to come, and you need to realize it will come when you're in Christ. All right. So the peace is in him. You're to take heart. You're to take heart because he's overcome the world. Everybody underline, overcome. Praise the Lord. He says, I have overcome the world. The word overcome is spelled in the Greek, N-I-K-E-O. Kind of like where we get Nike. It's pronounced this way, Nick-E-O. Nick-E-O. And this word means to overcome. I conquer. I am victorious. To carry off the victory. And it implies a battle. Okay? That means that, you know, Jesus is saying that he has overcome the world, that he has battled the world, and what was the prince of the power in this world, which was Satan, and he has overcome it. Everybody say overcome. Which means to carry off the victory. You can't do that without a battle. There's going to be battles. You know, part of the battle, even Jesus did it. He had to go through it in the Garden of Gethsemane. He said, Lord, I don't want to do this thing. If there's any way that you can take this cup from me, take it. Okay, not my will, but yours. So he had this battle going on the inside. Becoming a Christian doesn't get rid of the battle. Becoming a Christian, what it does do, come on, it guarantees that through faith you'll have the victory and more. You can't take faith out of the equation. Does God want everyone to be saved? Yes or no? According to Scripture, yes. Are all people saved? No. Because we're saved by grace through faith. Does God want all people to be healed? Yes or no? Absolutely, yes. Jesus went about healing all who were sick and oppressed of the devil. How he healed all that came to him. He healed all that were brought to him. And he doesn't show favoritism. So what is the thing regarding, he says to the woman who touched him, who had the issue of blood. And he turned to her and he said, your faith has made you whole. So you push it off on the sovereign side of God. If God wanted me to be healed or saved, he would do that. No. You've got to access those things by faith. Are you overcoming right now? Not all of us, not completely. Am I an overcomer? Yes. What will cause me to overcome more consistently and up to the point that I overcome all the time? Building my faith in this area. And to realize that your peace is who? In Jesus, who has not only conquered, but he has carried off the victory. What does that mean to you? What does that mean to me? He has carried off the plunder. He has carried off the authority. The Bible says that when he rose from the grave, that he took with it the keys to death and Hades. He said that all authority in heaven and on earth had been given to him. See, he was more than a conqueror. He was made a king of kings. He was made the Lord of lords. He was more... You know, you remember that movie Rocky? I used to watch it all the time when I was in my... whatever I was in. 20s, 30s, 20s. 15. But you know, Rocky came out of that thing, that first one. Did he win the first one? He didn't win, did he? Did he win? No, he got beat to a pulp. I don't think he won because he fought the Russian, Dolph Lundgren. You know, he's bloodied up and, you know, he's out there crying, Adrian! Adrian, and his face looks like hamburger. You know what I'm talking about? That's the picture of being a conqueror that we have. But Jesus is more than a conqueror. Yes, he was bloodied by his own will, but he was also resurrected and anointed and made king, priest, and son of God, the anointed one. Do you see Jesus in heaven right now sniffling? Do you see Jesus right now lacking anything? Do you see Jesus cringing in the corner because the devil's after him? See, that should bring you peace. Because he's already overcome the world. He's carried away the victory. He's carried away the plunder. All the authority belongs to him. And he says, now it's available to you. But you have to access it by faith. Again, you don't build your faith in the moment of crisis, in the moment of attack. You don't. When the trouble comes, that's when you don't say, oh Lord, give me faith. That's when you call your pastor. That's when you call the elders of the church. That's when you call those who've gone on before you. And you borrow from their faith. Mark chapter 16. All right. Go to Romans. Romans chapter 8. Are you guys here? Praise the Lord. There's some great things happening. Hey, I need to share with you some of the battles that I've been going through, not just, you know, having some in surgery here, but, boy, I'll tell you, these Gables are coming, but they're not coming without a fight. I mean, they're coming. But they're not coming without a fight. They should have been on according to what we had projected in all the meetings that we were having, probably next week or so, but it may be into December now. But they're not coming without a fight. That gas station is going to be put down within the next month, but, you know, it should have been put down last month, but it's not getting over there without a fight. And, you know, we could get... It's coming. I mean, it's a matter of, you know, we'd go the natural way and double the price on the thing and get it done right now, but no. You know, I got to keep jerking the slack out of these people and jerking the slack out of the city and jerking the slack out of the contractors, jerking the slack out of the architect, jerking the slack out of the engineer. I can't tell you how many times, like, we were just here for Friday, and the engineer was saying we couldn't do such and such regarding these things. And I said, yes, we can. And we came out there, and I saw him. This guy, you know, he gets paid like $300 an hour. And he went, I said, did that hurt? He said, what? I said, when you slap yourself in the head, he says, I just saw it. I said, I know. It's what I've been telling him for the last year. Jesus. And that has nothing to do with flesh and blood. We don't fight against flesh and blood, but spirits and principalities in high places. See, they've blinded some of these guys. And I got to get them in here, up in that upper room, and I pray with them every single time, whether they believe in Jesus or not. And we walk around this building, and every time I can see the lights come on, because the revelation and the anointing that's inside of me, you know, gets on them. And then they see. Yeah, they've got 6 and 7 year college degrees regarding yours. That's good, but pastor's got the anointing. And they've got to follow. All right, where are we at? Right here in Romans chapter 8, verse 37. It's coming. Just because there's trouble, it doesn't mean we're out of the will of God. Just because you experience trouble when you step out in ministry, doesn't mean you're not in the will of God. Verse 37. And all these things, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. You see that? More than conquerors? Everybody say more than conquerors. And all these things, we are more than conquerors. Now that's the same word, conquerors, there. In Nikio, to be a conqueror, meaning that there was a battle and to carry away the spoils. But this particular word is a conjunction. It's hooper Nikio. Anybody know what hooper means in the Greek? Remember hooper Barlow? He who could do more than we could ever ask or imagine, that more. It means this, guys. If I were to be able to bench press, I used to bench press around 6. But if I were benching now and I started the next month or so, I could probably do 350 pretty easy. It's just the way God built me. It's easy for me to. My best record was 315 21 times. And my highest bench was, 575. But now I couldn't do that right now. As a matter of fact, I can't do nothing right now. But if I were working out for the next month or so, you know, I would warm up 145, 215, 275, 15. That was, and I would be probably limiting out about there. So let's say, and I know that's, you know, without a lot of extra diet and sleep, you know, I'm going to limit out about 315 on my bench just for, you know, maybe 6 to 8 reps. So if that were my weight, 315 pounds, the best that I could do, you know, I go in and out. I may have some down days, I may have some good days. But overall, my average is 315 pounds. If I went in one day and I did 315, I went, whew, that seemed easy. Put 400 on there. And I went, wham, 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 wham. Whoo, that seemed easy. Put 415 on there. Wham, 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 wham. That's hooper. It's beyond the norm. It's almost supernatural. It's so far beyond the norm. The average for me, 315. But if I were to jump up another 100 pounds, and where'd that come from? That's hooper. And this scripture here in Romans chapter 8 says that you are a hooper conqueror. You are a hooper Nikeo. That means that although the rest of the world operates at this level, that you operate at this. If the rest of the world is operating in the thousand realm, you're operating in the millions. If the rest of the world comes across and they lay down for a week with sickness and disease, maybe you just twinge a little bit. Come on. Hooper, to be exceptionally beyond the normal mark. See, I think it's pretty good to be a conqueror. To be a conqueror that carries away the spoils. And here in this scripture it says that we are exceptionally beyond the mark of the normal conqueror. So for you to settle and for me to settle for an average life in Christ, I'm sorry, honey, you're not reading the scripture right. You need some things in this world, this side of heaven, to make an impact in this generation, in this world. You ain't going to do it on $10 an hour. You're not going to do it on $12 an hour. If the average person is getting paid $15 an hour right now for the average job, you need some hooper in it. Beyond the normal mark. Well, how is that possible? Well, first you better build your faith that God is able, not you. That God's favor goes before you. He's working on your boss before you even go into the place. Come on. That His favor and His grace is producing in your life more than what your sweat can be equivalent to, can be traded to. If all you do, guys, if all we do is sweat and give time to a business or a service and then we go home, then we're going to live an average life. And you know, Pastor thinks that means seriously. Come on, we're to make a difference. Every single one of you. You got the greater one inside of you. We're not here to, I am not going to run the, I'll run the race with everybody. But I'm not going to get, guys close to me, they're not going to be average. And so what do? You recruit exceptional people? No, we make you exceptional. Because I want to run the race with you. If you're going to settle for average and sliding by, you're probably not going to be having lunch with me, but I'll run the race with you. And when the revelation hits you and you go, oh my gosh, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. He that is in me, he that is in me, he that is in me. I'm not crying out for him to come down and pay attention to me. He has been in me. Wow, what have I been thinking? And when you get that revelation and you understand that you're just not a conqueror, understand you're going to get a couple hits on the chin. But you may go down, but you're going to get right back up again. The Bible says that when calamity comes, a fool falls and doesn't get up. But a righteous man gets up seven times. And that's a spiritual number, seven. It's not a natural number. You may go down, but you're getting right back up. You ever seen them movies when the old James Bond movies? And remember that sharp guy too? That guy with the big teeth, you know, had the big bump on his head. He's like 7'5", 7'8". You know, movie, what is he called? Jaws. His name was Jaws. And you know, I remember James Bond, the old one, Roger Moore. He comes back like this and he punches him. The guy didn't even move. His neck didn't move, you know. His chin didn't move. And then he's scared. What is scared to come in? I mean, James Bond hit him with everything he had. And this guy just goes, and then goes after him. Guess what you're to be against the world? The devil can take his best shot. It doesn't even faze you. If anything, it makes you smile because you realize that the strength doesn't come from you. It comes from him. You know, I don't know if any of you watch wrestling, the fun entertainment wrestling back in the day, you know, when Sting and Benoit and all those guys were wrestling. I met all those guys. But, you know, sometimes Benoit was, he's gone now, but I worked out with him in Tulsa, Oklahoma a couple times. And I remember that when he got hit, he'd go down, but he'd jump up almost faster than he went down. Now, I know it was play acting, but when he would take a hit, he would hit the ground, and it was almost acrobatic. He would be back up quicker in less time than it took him to go down. And that just would, you know, in the play acting of their wrestling, that would just freak out the guys that he was up against. And, you know, you may go down. It doesn't matter if you get knocked off your balance every now and then. And what matters is how you get back up. Because listen, Satan's not the only one watching. Did you hear me? Your life is a testimony to those who don't know Jesus. How you respond to get knocked on the chin is a testimony, not only in the heavenly realms and Satan watching, but to those who are not born again. And when you get back up, and when you jump back up, and when you act as if nothing happened, come on. Am I helping anybody? When you act that way, then those who are not saved are inspired to find Jesus. And those who are inspired, who are saved, are inspired to run their race more vigorously. Now, that doesn't mean you don't acknowledge the situation that you're in. But your first level of reaction and response is to jump back up and say, is that all you got? Is that all you got? Let's dance. Satan has been defeated. All I have to do is have faith and peace in Jesus. That's all you've got to do. Go to 1 John chapter 4. You guys doing okay? Nikeo. Nikeo. Overcomer. I conquer. I am victorious. to carry off the victory implies a battle. We are more than conquerors. Hooper, beyond the normal mark, beyond average. You are to be, and I am to be, beyond average. That's why I will not allow a poverty mentality to get inside this church or on this campus. I will not allow a begging poverty mentality. You still may not understand it, but this campus is, our offerings do not produce enough to even pay half of what it takes to do what we do around here. Our faith produces the rest. And I am very thankful for every seed that you guys sow. And I pray that it's a blessing. It comes back to you. You got to have faith for the multiplication in that. But just as my faith has been carrying this campus. Come on now. You're helping. But I, you know, it's going to come down to me. I'm the one who has to answer. Just like I have to answer whether or not these seats are filled. Just because we finish the building, the seats aren't going to be filled. It's going to take faith to fill these seats. I'm not afraid of that battle because I have already overcome in Christ Jesus. As a matter of fact, this church is to be over and above any average church, and it already is. It already is. But now we're going to walk from just being above average into excellence, into something that catches not only the born-again's eye, but those who are not born again. I was on the phone probably 5 or 6 times this week with city officials and the city attorney. And every single one of them said they have noticed what's going on up here. And they think how they compliment whatever we can do to help because you guys are making a difference. And they're just looking at the outside. We're not stopping there. We're not stopping there. All of Iowa and every nation. It would be okay to have a nice church of 80 to 100 people. That's the average. The average size church in America is 80 to 100. Guys, we're not stopping there. Because we are a Hooper Nikeo. We're not just going to conquer and carry away the plunder. Do you know what the plunder is? The nations. As for me, listen, money's nothing, people. Money's easy to get from God. You know, provision's easy to get from God. We are, the inheritance that we're looking for is this state, all of this state and the nations. You understand that means that our realm of authority in Christ Jesus from this church will be established up here on the hill for this city. And it will reach, our authority will reach into all of this state. Authority to speak over. It's being established. It already has, but it's being manifested. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Well, Pastor, you're just going to put the devil, and now he's going to come after us. He's already coming after you. Let's take some plunder from him. Right? He's already been messing with you for the last 15, 20 years, hasn't he? He's already been trying to keep you contained. He's already trying to keep you in strife. He's already trying to steal, kill, and destroy from you. Just because we stick our head out and we make a difference doesn't mean there's going to be more coming. Because here's the peace in that. That in Him we are more than conquerors. I can't build that faith for you. You have to build it. I give you the Word of God. I let it get inside of your spirit. And if you nurture it and you hold on and let it pop off in revelation, now it's going to be something that you can own, something that you can use, something that at your will you can release. Amen? We're always going to have people that are along for the ride. But those aren't the people that we're going to change this world with. Right? We're going to change this world by faith in Jesus Christ. We're going to take the dominion and the authority that He has invested in us through Christ, and we're going to manifest it, not just in an average way, but in an extraordinary way, done with excellence in everything that we do. Have peace, the peace of God, because Christ is in you. And in that, realize that He's overcome the world. And as this scripture says right here, you, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. You have already taken the victory. You have already overcome. You have already carried off the surplus from the battle. You're never going to go anywhere you can't see. You're not going to have anything you can't see. If you can't see yourself living in victory, you won't. Can I teach a little bit here? If you can't see yourself having friends, you never will. If you can't see yourself having a happy marriage, it won't ever happen. If you can't see yourself healthy, you'll never be healthy. If you can't see yourself strong, you'll never be strong. If you can't see yourself with a college education, you ain't getting one. If you can't see yourself owning the business, it ain't going to happen. That's the part of faith that has to be developed in you. And guys, faith is not part of your mind. Faith is spiritual. You see in your spirit. I'm going to tell you how to get there, okay? If you can't see yourself as a conqueror, you're going to be defeated every time. If you not see yourself defeating Satan when he comes up against you, you will never win. And every time you start to get a little spiritual strength and you start to exercise a little faith, he's just going to come along and slap you. He's just going to come along and slap you upside the face. And you'll go right down like a sack of potatoes, stay down there for a couple days and moan until the pastor comes, sees you, and pulls you off the deathbed. Come on. If you don't see yourself as Christ living in you, the hope of glory, you're never, ever going to live victoriously. You'll be living in survival mode. And guys, when you come to this church, you may be in survival mode. And then we get you to average. That's not our destination. I don't care if you're fresh in off the street, been living underneath the bridge. You are set here in this house to begin to understand that God can do all things through you because Christ lives in you. I don't care what happened in your past. I'm not concerned about your past. Jesus and I are concerned about your future. And you're going not from one battle to another, not from one knockdown to another. You're going from one victory to another victory. Can you say amen? You're going from one place of glory to another place of glory. Why? Because Jesus lives in you. And in that is the peace. Because he's already overcome. How do I see myself as victorious when I don't feel victorious? Pretty question, isn't it? The first thing you have to do is realize your feelings have nothing to do with it. Because you weren't there when Jesus defeated Satan, were you? You weren't his towel boy, his water boy, or his cheering section. You weren't there. He did it before you. It's already done. So there isn't anything you can do to help him win that battle. It's already won. And you are a partaker of that victory. By what? Faith. So you need to understand the way you feel has nothing to do with whether or not you're victorious. That's the beginning. Circumstances and situations and things around you are temporary or temporal, as the Bible says. They can change. You've got to understand what he did is eternal. You have to see yourself as the righteousness of God in Christ, with the greater one living in you, and the same power that raised Jesus from the dead living in you, that he is seated in you and you're seated in him. You're a joint heir and a co-heir with all authority in heaven and earth in his name. How do I do that? How do I develop that? The first thing you do is you get yourself in the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. But there's a part to the faith that you need to see who you are in Christ Jesus that I'm going to talk about just for a minute. Have you ever, how many of you pray in the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. Pray in tongues. Pray in the Holy Ghost. Praise the Lord. That's one of the most powerful tools that you have to visualize victory in Jesus. How many of you have ever prayed in English and then you said, now, Lord, I don't know how to pray any farther on this, so I'm going to let you pray through me and pray in tongues. Can I see your hand? Amen. So what you've learned to do is to direct the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to pray things out. Now you're selling it short if you don't let God show you things in that time. That's where the spiritual revelation comes. As you pray, you've read the Word, as you begin to pray it out in the Holy Ghost, then you say, Lord, show me as I process this in my spirit who I am and what I am. And you, there's no English word to describe it, and so this word is going to be maybe counterproductive. It's not going to line up like I want it to. You have to imagine in the Holy Spirit while you're praying in the Holy Spirit. And you can direct that through the Word and prayer in English. You know, I never would have seen blind eyes open when I pray if I hadn't spent time praying and seeing myself declaring the Word of God and saying, blind eyes see, and watching them open up here in my spirit, not in my imagination, in my spirit. And then I went and I walked it out overseas. I never would have seen crippled people walk if I didn't spend time reading Scripture about how Peter grabbed a hold of the man at the gate called Beautiful, or how Jesus caused the cripples to walk and the lame to jump. I never would have done those things in Christ Jesus if I wouldn't have spent time praying the Holy Ghost, having the Word to back it up, and allowing my spirit to see. Let's use this word, visualize in my spirit. Because spiritual faith is a spiritual thing. It's not a mental thing. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Come on now. How many of you wanted to do something, but inside of your spirit, you knew that wasn't for you? Come on, let me see your hand. Come on. That's what I'm talking about. Now, how many of you have seen yourself doing something, but you knew what you should be doing deep down in here was better, bigger, stronger, right, more right? Can I see your hand? That's what I'm talking about. And you spend time developing that in the Spirit, birthing it in the Spirit. You pray in the Holy Ghost over miracles. You pray, and I have prayed in the Holy Ghost over this campus so much I could tell you where buildings are that are not. I have prayed so much in the Holy Ghost over this, I can show you where the video systems are going. Because I've seen, not in my head, I've seen it in my spirit. I have seen translators up there and up there in every language simultaneously editing this message as it's broadcast throughout the world. And I can tell you what they look like. Not because I came up with it in my imagination, because I spent time building myself in the Holy Spirit as I prayed in tongues and let it begin to bring about revelations, images inside of my spirit of where we are going. When I say this place will be full to overflowing, 6 services on Sunday, and people will be standing at the door, I didn't come up and pull that out of my hiney. It came out of my spirit. All of Iowa and every nation. If you want to be an average person, well, you come on, run with us, but you're going to be at the back of the pack. If you want to be over and above, if you want to be average, if you just want to ride this thing out till Social Security, honey, you're not the person I'm looking to run with. Now, you can help us, but I'm not looking to run with you. Because if I slow down to run with you, I'm going to be walking, crawling. I think we're slow right now. 5 major projects going on. I think it's too slow. So I'm not looking to replace, and you aren't either. I'm not looking to replace anybody. You want to know how I know that you might have that same tendency? If you're thinking, well, yeah, my husband, he's just holding me back. Well, God's not going to give you a new husband because he's holding you back. You better develop him. Husband, you better develop her. You better get it in her. How? The visionary part of who she is, who he is. You got to get in them. And when they begin to see it, you don't have to say, come on up the rear, come on up in the rear. You're holding things back. No, they're going to be skipping right along beside you, maybe even taking off ahead. So we're looking to develop you in these things. Turn to 1 John chapter 5, one page over. Is this good preaching? The devil can do his best. He's not going to win. Well, how can you say that? Because the battle's already won, and God has given me faith. Let me come down here just for a minute. I really want you to get this morning, guys. Your faith is not something that exists in your head. Faith is a spiritual thing, so it exists in your spirit. Now, in your head, there's this thing called your will that you choose to line up with the truth that's in your spirit. Abraham knew something in his inner man, but his body was saying something different. His head was saying something different. And he made his head get in line so his body would respond and do the things necessary so that they could have a child named Isaac. And he believed God was able to get some seed through there. Is that plain enough? I'd rather have it fed to me. Not all pureed and ground up. I want to grab a hold of that meat and I want to eat it. And I'm believing you are too, or I wouldn't put such things out there. Everyone who believes Jesus is the Christ, everybody say that with me, Jesus is the Christ, is born of God. Okay. And everyone who loves the Father loves his child as well. This is how we know that we love the children of God, by loving God and carrying out his commands. Verse 3. In fact, this is love for God, that we keep his commands. And his commands are not burdensome. For everyone born of God overcomes the world. How do we know if you're born of God? If you believe Jesus is the anointed one. How many of you believe that Jesus is the anointed one? Let's just make it simple. All right. Everyone in here. So you have overcome the world. Because you're born again. Well, I don't feel like I'm overcoming. Well, you've got to get your head out of feelings and into the Word. And the one thing, guys, you could have it all up here, memorize scripture and verse. But if you don't have an image of it in your spirit, feelings will rule. You getting me? You can have even scripture up here in your head. If you don't have that now, you don't have much of a foundation. But if you at least get the scriptures in your head, you don't have to have Romans and John. You have to have the intent of the scripture in your head. You get that in your head, okay, now you got a foundation. But when feelings come, you'll be swayed to the left or to the right unless you have the picture. And do you have a picture of you going through life looking like Rocky at the end of Rocky 1? Do you have yourself inside a picture of you going through life and you just made it by the skin of your teeth and thank God you get to go to heaven and then you get a rest? I know some people that have been in the Lord a long time, they just want to go to heaven. They're tired. I don't want to be like that. I want to go. Oh, you know, when I'm going out, I don't want to be kicking the devil's butt. Oh! And I'm gone with the Lord. How do you do that, JD? Do it for us, JD. Come on, do it for us. He was doing it for us yesterday. Show us how they used to do it in the old movies. That's what I want. Yeah, come on. Get them hands up there. Get the hands swinging while you're kicking. I don't want to be kicking the devil. I just want to be kicking him. Next thing I know, I'm present with the Lord. He's not going to have victory in my life. He shouldn't have victory in yours. Because I believe that Jesus is the anointed one. So therefore, I have overcome the world in Christ. Now, let's finish this. Finish it. This is a victory that has overcome the world, even our faith. Who is it that overcomes the world? Only he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. He's the one who conquered. He's the one that carried away the victory. He's the one that is anointed King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He's the one who has all authority in heaven and earth. I need faith to access the image
that I am a joint heir with Him. Some people can only get to the understanding that they're the seed of Abraham, so they're blessed on the earth. Some people can only understand that they're a son of God by the new birth, and they think that all their victory is in heaven. But you and I are a son of man and a son of God, because we've been born in the same class as Jesus. Weren't you? Were you born again? Then you're born in the same class as Him. He was born of the Spirit. You're born of the Spirit. And you have to begin to see yourself as the Hooper, Nikeo, much more than just a conqueror. That picture will carry you beyond circumstances and emotions. That picture is what will cause you, when you get knocked down, to jump up faster than you went down. That picture is what will cause you, when the devil tries to put one right here on your chin, he gives you everything you got, you don't even budge, and you just crack a big old grin at him and say, "Is that all you got?" Come on. It's that picture, that image on the inside of you, the revelation of who you are, not who you're going to become. Who you are in Christ Jesus. It's already done. Everybody say overcomer. Say more than an overcomer. That's you and that's me. Amen. All right, let's go ahead and pray. Hallelujah. If you're here today and you need to give your life to Jesus, I just want you to raise up your hand right now. If you have not received Him, none of this is possible without Jesus being your Lord. You may know Him, but He needs to be your Lord. If He's going to be your Savior, He needs to be your Lord.
We hope that you are blessed by the Word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.